Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Welcome, everybody. Sports medicine, fitness, wellness. Hello, baseball. You know, spring training. It's an exciting time to start thinking about getting a little bit warmer, the excitement of baseball. Go Cubs. Great doubleheader today. A couple of returning great guests. We've got Dr. John Trowbridge. He's a holistic physician. He's a prolific author and speaker, stem cell regenerative medicine specialist. He returns, and then we're going to have Kimberly Archie come back, this champion of a woman, the founder of the National Cheer Safety, USA Sports Safety. She's a leading expert in concussions, youth sports risk management. And then it's me, the sports doctor's in. We'll answer some emails, check out upcoming shows. But let's jump right in. Dr. John Trowbridge, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, Dr. Bob, I was so thrilled to hear you say, go Strohs.
See, it's amazing semantics, isn't it?
It's
semantics and titles. Again, everybody, Dr. Trowbridge, a holistic physician. Over the past decade or two, this has become a very big deal. Everybody, we've been talking holistic medicine for decades on the Sports Doctor, and it's a great connection many times of Eastern and Western medicine, of drug and non-drug natural medicine types of therapies. And again, a multiple author of books, The E Syndrome, and, you know, longevity medicine, that's a big deal. John, give us a little bit of what you're doing now and how you got here.
You know, Dr. Bob, I think the key thing to understand is that I'm a reluctant user if a new technology might pose any risks or problems. And so I'm now in my fourth year of using stem cells that are highly, highly regulated, very safe, very useful, and extremely effective. And I waited all that time until I was able to find a product that met those needs. And I'm still kind of finicky. I turn down patients because I go, you're not going to get the results you're after. So why do something that someone won't be happiest with?
The mental game is always a big deal. You know, whether you're dealing with the best athlete in the world or their grandmother.
Oh, isn't that true?
Again, the holistic approach. Which, you know, some people, functional medicine and looking a person as a whole person, mind-body mixed in with a lot of this. And this is what you've been all about for a lot of years, isn't it?
For about most of my 40 years, almost all of my 40 years. The most exciting thing is that stem cells now allow for healing of pain patterns. And Dr. Bob, you're well aware of pain patterns because people try to walk around on those feet for years. And, you know, until they find someone who can really take care of the problem. And when they do, it's like a miracle. Well, that's the same thing that we do with the other joints. And it's terribly exciting. Actually, I have a neat story. I have a phenomenal podiatrist who offices next door to me. And I mean, not just because she's there, but she is incredible. And she ended up with an ankle injury that simply would not heal. And happily, we've been able to take care of that. She dances again. She walks on the beach again. And when you can do that to a foot and ankle doctor, that's kind of neat. That's fun.
That sure is. I sure give her a message from Dr. Bob that I sure as heck hope she's in proper orthotics all this time.
Oh, gosh,
with
yes.
All of that. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
The combination, right, of the biomechanics. And, you know, general medicine.
Dr. Bob, the thing is that people want to reach for one of the tools in the toolkit when you might need three or four or five in order to complement the whole thing and make the program work. And that's what we look at with stem cells, is we say, you know, might this work? Yes, but what if something else could work easier for you? And that's what we're looking at as well. I have people who fly in from around the country because we finally qualify them for our stem cell treatments, and we're very reasonable. We're not, you know, out charging an arm and three legs. We're just looking to make a long list of patients who are thrilled that they got our care. And
in this day and age, I think your stem cell probably not covered by insurance, is it, or isn't
no,
it?
No, gosh, no.
Yeah,
no,
that makes it
leading
a major
edge stuff.
Yeah, give us some simple explanation of, you know, what is stem cell therapy. Are you talking always injections? Are you talking about, you know, drawing somebody's blood? And what's the keeping it simple explanation of stem
sure.
cell therapy?
There are a variety of ways to get stem cells, but really if you want to get premium ones, we get them from umbilical cord blood, from donated umbilical cords. This happens at a scheduled cesarean section where the mom has been pre-screened, pre-checked, everything is okay, and then they draw the specimens. You know, the umbilical cord and placenta, they're being discarded anyway. There's no use. And these are voluntary donations to help other people the same way people donate blood to help other people. And then the cord blood and the mom's blood is tested again. It's in quarantine until all the results are in. And then we have a flash-frozen product that is extremely active. In other words, most of the stuff, I hate to say this, Dr. Bob, but most of the stuff that's out there that's called stem cells is either Mickey Mouse or fraud. And when I say fraud,
it's unfortunate because it's been definitely gotten a lot of hoopla.
Oh, yes.
And,
oh, yes.
And all sorts of the areas.
The hoopla is because when it works, it's spectacular. But there's just too many people for whom it doesn't work because they didn't get the right deal. A number of the products are simply dead because they had to be irradiated or chemically treated the way that they're prepared. That kills the cells. You can't do that. The other thing is that some patients are victimized by doctors who got into this because they go, oh, I'm gonna do stem cells, but they don't study it, and therefore they can't tell you what a stem cell is. It's really very simple. You have nests of stem cells throughout your body from the time you're born. This is just like having National Guard ready to go doing, you know, spring into action. And if you injure yourself, they come forward, take care of the injury, and go back and rest again. They have the ability to make more of themselves and to direct your body to heal an injured area. That's all they are. But they're remarkable when you get a product that you can use for people that they have not seen before. Now,
this is injectable?
Injectable, absolutely.
Injectable.
And, you know, Dr. Bob, there are some people who are actually two-thirds of the stem cells that are gotten are from liposuction surgery, you know, where they do the suction of the belly fat or the butt or your bone marrow. The only problem is those are older stem cells. They've lived with you for all those birthdays and all those, you know, medications and illnesses
right.
and stresses. And besides that, the technology of obtaining them, there's some real serious problems. And we encounter none
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about some of the different indications, et cetera. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Live from Chicago, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You could zip over to radio shows and go back years and see some of the topics and the guests of some of the great shows we've had. Listen to whatever you would like. Or you can go to newspaper articles and magazines and read about a endless array of whether your son or daughter is specializing in one sport or what are we going to do with this concussion madness to one of the faves is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. That's a great article. And we have a lot of followers on Twitter. We do a lot of sports medicine, health, wellness, education on Twitter, at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. And again, hey, the book, hashtag, A Sports Parents, a lot of great stuff in the world of sports medicine in that regard. Talking with Dr. John Trowbridge, talking really about the importance of the quality, people being aware, educated about that this world of stem cell therapy, which you said is injectable, sprains and strains, chronic pain.
Absolutely. And Dr. Bob, if I can take just a second and just plug your archives, I have to tell you, you know, in my worldview, education is the most important part of what we do as doctors. And your phenomenal amount of information gives people the perspective by which they can go talk to their doctor and have some idea about whether what they're saying is likely to be useful for them. And so that they come forearmed and forewarned. They understand a little bit about their condition, and they can always learn more by going back to your site and getting the information. That's just phenomenal for me.
Thank you. I think, you know, the whole idea, again, of whether it's fitness or whether it's wellness, whether it's, you know, we have to understand we're only one of two countries in the world that allow ad nauseum constant advertising of prescription medicines on television. We're bombarded with it. 80% of the pain pills worldwide are taken in the United States. It's just part of the culture. And the holistic approach of all aspects, and now, again, because you also specialize, you know, my friends, Dr. Robert Goldman, I think, started the anti-aging, American Association Anti-Aging, the longevity medicine and regenerative medicine. Stem cells a big part of that, as you see it?
They are a growing part of that, and the worrisome part is that people are trying to push them into areas where the treatment patterns are not yet clear. So, for instance, they're saying, oh, well, we can treat anything that ails you. And, you know, patients, Dr. Bob, patients are so desperate with illnesses, degenerative illnesses, that we don't treat well at all. And so they fall prey to this. They go try these things out. Really, the stem cells right now are for neck and back and joint pain, sports injuries, chronic arthritis, you know, discomforts like that, that respond incredibly well in the right setting with the right stem cell.
That's a lot of indications. What's the way? I know you've got a million books and articles, some of you speak of a website, for people to find out more about Dr. Trowbridge.
Well, the one they can learn about stem cells is real easy. There's a book called it Failure is Not an Option. Obviously, because I'm here in NASA country, failure is not an option. And if people go to my website, they can actually download that for free. You can go to healthchoicesnow.com, because if you don't know you have health choices now, you don't have any. And you can also go to painfreefinally.com and download my book. It won't cost you a penny, but it gives you a tremendous amount of information for starters. And then feel free to contact the office, because, you know, my treatment counselors are there to guide and direct you. And like I say, we probably turn away as many people as we accept, because we can direct them to other healing patterns that are going to work just as well, if not
better. Where do you see Dr. John, what's that website?
The website is healthchoicesnow.com. That's plural, choices now. And if they want to call the office, it's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. Pretty easy
okay.
to remember.
Yeah. Where do you see the role of stem cells in sports medicine?
I think when we finally get finished with all the hoopla, we're going to see our sports heroes, from the professionals all the way down to the high schoolers, available to get stem cells literally within days of getting injured. And this will remarkably change the entire healing pattern. You know, we're doing a lot
of
things now.
Even the acute, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In the acute area, the ability
absolutely.
To, of course, everybody's interested in the world of sports medicine, high performance,
right.
in enhancing recovery.
Exactly.
You know, can we, you know, you hear about these athletes that treat it 24-7, and some respects, there's limits to what could be done. But the a natural scenario, and again, virtually, are there any side effects stem cell therapy-wise?
You know, if it's done right, there are not at all. Of course, you say that, but then something can come up. The deal is that
right.
These are immune-neutral cells. They don't provoke an immune response against themselves. They do not make an immune attack against the person that you're injecting them into. And again, we're very cautious about who we select. We're not trying to find people who are going to end up with problems. And the idea is find the people whose injury and their ideas about it, they are realistic in that regard.
Well, you know, chronic pain. We don't have to remind everybody. We don't have to remind everybody of the 70,000+ deaths a year in the world of opioids and pain pills.
Can you believe
that has exploded on our society? You really don't have to go far to find anybody who doesn't really, really understand. And chronic pain is a very, very big deal. You know, you could walk up three aisles over the counter. One of the biggest parts of my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is the chapter I wrote on youth sports and drugs, where we see so many of these kids relying on over the counter,
you know,
Advil, Tylenol, in order to hold up to a schedule of abuse. So the area of pain is a very, very big deal. And this sounds like something that you would think, again, when you're talking even acute injury and maybe being able to reduce pain quickly in that regard. And where does stem cell therapy fit in to your world of longevity medicine, Dr. John?
You know, it's one of the nice pieces, but I'll tell you what the most important piece is, and you'll probably agree with me right off, it's what you eat and how you move. Those are the two most important things with regard to longevity. I tell patients, if you want a couple of secrets, number one is vitamin C. You need more of it than you think you do. Number two, fish oil. You actually need more of it than you think you do. Number three, get off your butt and start walking. It's remarkable what that can do.
And especially, again, today, it's one of my pet peeves, whether it's childhood obesity or obesity-related problems, diabetes, the explosion of that, with all the increased awareness, like what we're talking about in so many different areas, we still are facing, you know, head first, either whether it's the pain pill crisis, that's a nightmare, or the obesity crisis.
Right.
That's another nightmare.
And again, the
eating smarter on the left, keep moving on the right. Big, big part of wellness, longevity, staying out of trouble. And again, the world of stem cell therapy, I can't believe the time flew by. Dr. John Trowbridge. Dr. John, give me the website again. People can find out about you and all these different things, you and your books.
We invite folks to come to Health Choices Now, healthchoicesnow.com. They can download free the book, Failure is Not an Option, and enjoy reading about stem cells. And then if they want to call the office, it's 1-800-FIX-PAIN, F-I-X-P-A-I-N, Fix Pain.
Bingo. All right, everybody, we're going to be right back. John, hold on quickly. It's a sports doctor, everybody. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Excited to bring back Kimberly Archie. Kimberly is a real champion of child sports prevention. She's a leading expert, sports risk management, child athlete abuse disorder. Never underestimate the love of a mother. Concussion, the whole side of all of that education, a cheerleading champion, the founder of the National Cheer Safety. Hey, Kimberly, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
It's great to have you back. Give us a quickie about you and what you're doing.
Well, we're doing a lot with the Faces of CTE right now. It's coming up on Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is March, and we're heading to D.C. for Brain Injury Day on Capitol Hill. So we have a group of families that are going to be there, and then we also have our book, Brain Damage, The 2-Minute Warning for Sport Parents, coming out on March the 12th.
Yeah, you're, of course, a champion of this tremendous attention to CTE and head trauma and football and sports. A mom who's a champion. You lost your son, Paul, in 2014, where many people didn't even think CTE in younger and younger ages, the whole the head trauma. And I guess you've been a champion ever since with this great cause of education.
Yeah, I got started in 2003 when my daughter was injured on our high school sideline cheerleading team. And after making a few phone calls, I sort of had an epiphany that we had Thurgood Marshall as a champion for civil rights, and we had Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a champion for civil rights in general, but it seemed there was lacking a champion for child rights. And so while I am not nearly as qualified as either of those incredible human beings, I certainly was willing to answer the call. And so that's how it all got started. And then unfortunately, we lost our son in 2014. And because of the decade previous to that of my exposure to the youth sports safety aspects and lack of regulation, it only made sense to have our son's brain examined for brain damage.
Yes, the idea of there could be the results of multiple trauma has long been in our good friend Matt. Matt what is Ahmet's, it'll hit me in a second, I'm sorry. I forgot his last name for a second.
Chaney.
Matt Chaney, the champion. I've written so much about head trauma and the whole history of football and sports, et cetera. You bring up a very interesting point. For years, I've always respected cheerleaders as some of the best athletes we would ever see.
Yeah.
Running, jumping, acrobats, and the idea that even number one, oh, gee, it's a sport, to number two, where the heck are the regulations involved in the safety part of all of this? You really took that head on, haven't you?
Yeah, cheerleading is ultimately unregulated gymnastics and dance and a combination. And depending on the team and the level, it varies on what type of dance or acrobatics and tumbling they may be doing. And whether it's on the sideline or in a pep rally or in competition, they often don't have athletic trainers or an emergency plan or coaches that are trained for acrobatics and tumbling. They learn skills too far in advance without following proper progressions and those sorts of things. So when you have a lack of regulation in sports in general, and then you have a group that's using a sport skill set with even less regulation, then you certainly have increased risk.
And especially, again, in this day and age, where it's one of the reasons I wrote the book with my co-author Sharkey, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was this high epidemic level of overuse injuries because of the pushing and the pressure with child sports, youth sports, physically. And then you have the whole mentally other side of, again, the whether you're talking regulations and safety, which I think surprises a lot of people when they hear you speaking that, you know, you still got a long way. How could someone have a football team and not have trainers on the sideline? I mean, right?
And how do you have a football team and they don't make helmets specifically for children? They don't test them using full crash dummies, that they only have a volunteer industry-ran organization with no federal government oversight.
It's
mind-blowing to me.
I don't think
parents have any idea that the helmet issue to me is the sleeper. You see all these new sleek helmets. You hear about the new
$1,500
helmet.
Kimberly, I'll tell you another sleeper. The other sleeper is the main cause of head trauma has nothing to do with helmets. Helmets are great to prevent skull fractures or that kind of injury. They're not made to stop the slamming around of the head in any kind of collision sport, a la football. And that's the reality, even though I don't care if you make a helmet out of something from Mars. You're not going to change the fact of collisions. And I think that's one of the great, great challenges. And one of the chapter parts of my book, kind of the question mark is what are we going to do about youth tackle football as a society?
Well, we're going to do what they did in 1957, which is recognize that children don't have the physical performer readiness to sustain hundreds of hits per season and thousands over a lifetime. And we're going to decide on an age of entry. When is it the right time?
Good luck
for
to you.
Kids
there is
to play
no right
a collision
time.
Sport.
Yes. That's where our friend Matt is the reality, of course, is it's the biggest sport in the country. And we all understand what a big deal this is. But when we talk about the kind of education that you've been such a big part of, Catherine Snedeker and you and some others, you know, getting mad in the group, name will hit me, in this whole area of paying big attention, even in this, child athlete abuse disorder. You use that term. What is that?
Well, it's the American win-at-all-cost mentality. that allows for the overuse and the exposure to unreasonable risk in the name of a game and winning.
Big problem. We're all familiar with the Little League parent or the other sides of children playing adult games. In my book, I call them Svengali coaches who are pushing and the pressure's on and all of these kinds of things. That's an interesting, I haven't heard it described as a title. What's the best website, Kimberly? Can people find out about all the things you've written and what you're doing?
Well, gosh, there's a whole body of work, but yeah, they can check out nationalcheersafety.com. They can look at facesofcte.com, or they also can just Google
Google Kimberly Archie.
Yeah, just Google me, because that's probably easier to find all the different variety of sources where I've written things for, like, the United States Sports Academy and things like that.
You know, you're in the middle of a big, big topic. You know, you're a leading expert in sport risk management for youth sports. It's such a big area. It's going to be have you found that to be an area where parents on that? That's why I always ask people like yourself in these areas, I ask you how your sports psychology skills are. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
how's your psychology skills? But, you know, in an area like the risk management in youth sports, I always thought that might be what really would bring high school football down, would be the risk management liability side of it. But what are you guys paying attention to in that area?
Well, I think
risk
there's
management.
A couple of things. Yeah, you know, the first is the helmets for me. The second is the repetitive hits. I mean, you know, we still don't know how many cigarettes it takes to cause cancer. We don't know how many licks it takes to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. How are we going to figure out how many hits it takes?
That's a great comparison.
Brain damage. You know, yes.
This is the crapshoot.
Where's the line going to be drawn? I think it's insurance. Yeah. You know, when insurance doesn't want to insure it, when they don't want to take the risk anymore, I think insurance companies will stop insuring it before parents will accept that football is too dangerous for children to play in the format in which it's in. I mean,
hey, the
even
Super
for high
Bowl,
school kids.
God love them. You know, in the Super Bowl, when I saw one of the commercials, is going to be this young African-American gal who grew up, became a football player. And they were hyping, you know, she could do anything she wanted. It was a great commercial. But they were talking girls football. I said, oh, my gosh, their reach is endless. We're talking with Kimberly Archie. Youth sports safety. Kimberly, we're going to be right back. Everybody, it's a sports doctor. Near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Everybody, everybody. We're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows and go back almost a decade on topics and guests and see if you want to listen to something. You go back a couple of years, we'll probably catch my last show with Kimberly Archie. Kimberly Archie, champion of moms and parents and advocates for the safety in youth sports, whether it is the world of head trauma and concussions, whether it's the world of risk management for youth sports, or a title she mentioned, which again, such a big deal to me, child athlete abuse disorder. Talk about what you're working on at this point in time, Kimberly. What are you paying a lot of attention to right now?
I think our biggest focus at this point is getting legislation introduced at the federal level to create the Sport Health and Safety Administration. I mean, we see the head trauma issue is huge, but you also see a lot of hazing stories, hazing rituals throughout various sports.
So what's the name of the organization you would like to see created?
The Sport Health and Safety Administration. So it would be like OSHA,
Think that'd be an easy sell.
You would think, yeah.
We've been
lobbying for several years on this topic so far.
I got to join the team with the importance. I'm going to take part in a documentary. He was a guest of mine, Joel, the Youth Sports, the movie. The $15 billion a year youth sports industry, and the fact that there's not a department that's paying attention to, like, you know, bullying or hazing
or sex abuse. Look at sex abuse. I mean, you cannot trust the U.S. Olympic Committee or their new nonprofit or the NCAA or the governing
or the doctors
or the manufacturers or the doctors. Yes. Yeah, look at NASA.
Yes, it is.
We
now,
have to have a dedicated group.
Yes. There's a lot of great information. You're a big part of it. I've been playing around with the Sports Doctor. Maybe three decades, give it take a few weeks, you know. It's a lot of good information regarding the good sides of a lot of, whether it's youth sports, again, that we're talking about. We know how it's exploded in our society. We know how clubs and the pressure of clubs, the expense of clubs. The United States figure skating champion this past year is a 13-year-old. It's amazingly impressive, but it ain't for everybody, let alone this dilemma with the head trauma and football, and everybody tripping all over themselves. I've got a Safeway at tackling, or I got a helmet from Mars. Or now the idea that there can be helpful things, better equipment, better rules. You know, if someone pinned me down, what age is okay to start football? If you love it, maybe high school. Other than that, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot, mom and dad.
I think it's a question that society needs to answer. What is the appropriate age of entry? Is it 18? Is it 16? Is it 14? What is it? I know it's not before high school.
No,
we,
it's
we know
never.
That for sure.
Right. It's flag football. But it is a dilemma because it's the biggest sport in the country. We just saw the Super Bowl. It really is a Friday Night Lights. It's a big business. A gigantic business. So coming to grips, we always knew that the sport of football, I mean, you can fall off a skateboard, you could slide into second base, you could fall off a bike and get a concussion. But only in
accidents.
A collision. Exactly. But the idea of the consistent collisions and the emphasis on women's sports and girls' sports. I know one of our colleagues, Catherine Snedeker, is it the pink brain?
Pink concussions.
Another, again, great educational area. Is the momentum building in the world of medicine, in your world, that there would be the ability to make some sort of, like you said, federal legislation?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely gaining some momentum now and seeing federal legislation to oversee sports from kids to the pros. We have to do better than the Amateur Sports Act. It just doesn't do enough. And having sports be in charge of themselves hasn't worked for 100 years now.
Yes. It's, you know, participants in my book that were part of Ask the Experts, whether it's iSport 360, the great app of Ian Goldberg with communication parents and coaches, or the National Alliance of Youth Sports, which has been around for decades. There's more and more organizations trying, I think, joint forces with your whole point of view and try to, again, establish some of this criteria. Takes me aback that there is not an organization, like you said, what's the title?
It's the Sport Health and Safety Administration. So it would be underneath the Consumer Product Safety Commission. It would be a federal organization. We would put a dollar on every pro ticket sold to fund it. And so I'm certain that fans wouldn't have any problem adding a dollar onto their, you know, $4,000 Super Bowl ticket to go towards safety for kids.
The sensibility of what you just said and what you've said before with this whole issue, you would again think that this would be a very, very high priority. And I guess it's a matter, again, of keeping in front of the right people. You would think the sports industry is so gigantic. It takes up such a gigantic part of everybody's lives. We're all fans, whether it's college or this or that, and youth safety, let alone, again, with the tremendous advertisement we've seen, whether it's abusive coaches, whether it is, I've had eating disorder experts on the Sports Doctor where they've talked about this nightmare in some of the areas. I call them the prodigy sports, where you have a 10, 11, 12-year-old figure skater, gymnast, tennis player, and that's all they're doing. And this whole overuse injury problem. Who are some of your colleagues who are helping you, Kimberly, on the way of trying to change some of these rules?
Well, of course, we have Catherine at Pink Concussions, and we have Mary Seau with the Mary Seau CTE Foundation. And, of course, our panel of experts, the National Cheer Safety Foundation, and our group of parents involved with FACES of CTE. Many of them have their own organizations like CTE Hope or the Ty Posenbond Foundation, which is the Canadian bull rider who was the first to be found to have CTE. So you have a real cross-section from cheer parents to, you know, bull riding families, to football, to track, to baseball. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you fall on the political spectrum or whether you're talking about kids or college players or if you think kids should play tackle or not. I think it's something everyone can get on the same page, but it makes a lot of sense to have a federal organization. We have a lot of laws that I don't know if they're necessarily good or bad or even needed. We all know kids should be protected. I mean, the most vulnerable among us should be protected. And if sports is the most important part of society, and Bill Moyer says that sports is the soul of American capitalism, no longer religion, then we need to make it important.
I'll tell you, Kimberly Archie, never underestimate the love of a mother. Such a champion, youth sports, cheerleading, risk management. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Give me quickly a website, although people could Google Kimberly Archie. There's so much information. Is there a website that's your fave?
FacesOfCTE.com.
FacesOfCTE.com. Kimberly Archie, thank you so much. Hold on a quick second. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctors in, if I could find them. The Sports Doctors. everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag HeySportsParents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. It's the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview a couple of upcoming shows and then we answer some emails. And next week, one of my favorite orthopedic surgeons, sports orthopedist Dr. Sean McMillan, will be joining us from, is it Philadelphia or is it Pittsburgh? One of the two. And then one of the leading functional medicine physicians, Mylene Robey, who publishes a lot of different information on functional medicine. And she's been on the show before. She's great. The following week, we're going to have podiatric surgeon Dr. Joe George. We'll talk a little foot and ankle surgery with Dr. Joe. Then VJ, I got to get his full name. Balance Excellence, very interesting sports performance programs. So we've got some great shows coming up. Let me see, would he have a few emails here? Okay, Robert. Hey, Robert. I love to jog. I've got these painful calluses. You, of course, as a podiatrist, talked a lot about foot care. What about the calluses? Almost always, Robert, the podiatrist can painlessly trim down painful calluses. They might do it once a month. They might do it every couple of months. And they might do it in super senior people. And they might do it in 40-year-olds. And usually it's very, very helpful. Many times there is also the idea of orthotics, accommodative devices, to try to redistribute weight away from the area, maybe take the weight off the ball of the foot. Also, both things could be done. So we might see that the combination of trimming the calluses down, same thing goes with corns on the top of the toes. It might be hurting people. We might trim them down every month or two, and then we might look to be using orthotics to try to redistribute the weight. Rarely, but if calluses are that aggressive, they could be surgical problems. And again, podiatry is a great place to go to find out your options. But again, it's usually we see that, hey, you know, we're not talking about conservative care. Keep you running comfortably. Tom said, back on your show, you had Gary Reinl. He is the anti-Iceman, the author of the book Iced. What's your opinion? I'll tell you, Tom, my opinion is I included his conclusion that ice is not beneficial in healing as part of the first part of my section of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where I talk about the dealing with acute injuries, dealing with the chronic injuries, and what Gary Reinel, who is a trainer of champions, he's been involved with every major team in every major sport over the years. He's done worked with Olympic athletes. He's very involved with Electric Muscle Stim, the Mark Pro for enhanced healing. And years and years of his going back and research conclusions in his book, Iced, is that ice, besides numbing an area initially for pain, is counterproductive. And it slows down the body's ability to stimulate healing. Wow! This was a shocker. Reminded me of my days decades ago with one of my mentors, the great sports therapist, kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, where he was talking about stretching didn't help anything and the whole world was against him initially. And now there's a lot of what he was saying was very, very true. But this is how it first initially. The term RICE, R-I-C-E, rest, ice, compression, elevation. Almost everybody in the world of sports and injuries knows that term. Dr. Gabe Merkin is a physician, one of the first sports medicine doctors, wrote a book. In it, he talks about, he coined the principle RICE. In the second edition of the book, Ice, by Gary Reinel, the foreword is written by Dr. Merkin, where he says, I was wrong. Ice is not productive. It doesn't enhance healing. So it definitely is a book you want to look at when it comes to where does that fit in. What does Gary Reinel recommend when he's talking about an acute problem like somebody? He talks about adjacent muscle action, muscle activation, where he might be having someone move their toes, moving painless areas of range to get motion going to stimulate the exchange of fluids. So he's a blazer when it comes to the direction of the understanding of routine use of ice. Angie says, are bunions inherited? Bunion, which is a lay term for the dislocation of the big toe joint, the gradual underlapping or overlapping of the big toe and that bump protrusion on the inside of the joint, that itself is not inherited. What's inherited is the tendency of the foot imbalance to create that or aggravate it. So somebody might inherit the broad ball of the foot, the longer second toe, the pronated or rolled in a flat type foot, and they might be more susceptible to having their grandma's bunion, their mother's bunion. In my surgical career, gosh, a decade and a half ago, I probably had a dozen families over the years where grandma in her early 70s or late 60s, her daughter in her early 50s or late 40s, and her daughter maybe in her later 20s had bunion surgery. And what we started seeing on the conservative side, when I started getting very, very aggressive with orthotics, even if it was bunions and athletes, they weren't interested in surgery. They'd love to try something in the shoe to see if it makes a difference. And it made a great difference. So many times when your question is, yes, the tendency to develop and accentuate bunions, it's a progressive dislocation of that joint. So the use of orthotics is to try to stabilize that joint as much as possible. Maybe it's not rubbing in the shoe as aggressively. And maybe if we're talking about that teenager or that young adult, we can keep them off the surgical table. You want to pay attention. Joe says, I'm 45 years old. I play adult hockey 2 times a week. My ankles have been a problem. I know you've always talked about figure skating and orthotics. What's your history? Hey, great news. Orthotics, when done properly, can be tremendously helpful. Look at something as Superfeet initially to give it a try. Or go to sports podiatry. Orthotics make you a better skater besides reducing your ankle problems. Hey, thanks a lot, Dr. John Trowbridge. Kimberly Archie. And thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week for another edition of the Sports Doctor. Thank you.